You're listening a Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Peace be upon you, the mercy of Allah and His blessings on the 16th day of Dhul-Hijjah 1440 corresponding to Sunday the 18th of August 2019 through the mercy and blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, a very warm welcome to the esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba Online, Voice of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as well as to you, the esteemed listener of Radio Al-Ansari in the Durban, Peter Maritzburg, local, global regions, and also Sirius FM in the East Rand. And we say shukran to the esteemed directors of the various radio stations as well as the sound engineers and the sound controllers. Well, alhamdulillah, last week, Saturday, you'll find over 3 million people were at Arafat, and alhamdulillah, already from the past day or two, many people have now been returning to their homes, their home country, their home cities and their towns. And alhamdulillah, wa shukrulillah, Mufti Sahib, Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Sahib, Hafizahullah, has also returned, and Mufti Sahib is back with us on the Q&A program. Well, right now, we begin by welcoming Mufti Sahib to the program, and thereafter, we go into the Q&A immediately. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa fi zwadi, jazakallahu khairan. And I must place on record my sincerest thanks to the various ulama and muftis who were doing this program of Q&A during my absence. Mufti Bilal Qasim of Dundee, who is teaching in Darum, Newcastle, Sheikh Suleiman Ghani, mashallah, there in the UK, and Mufti Amjad of Bradford, barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khairan, you did a splendid job, and mashallah, Hafiz Wadi, you also were hosting all these programs, so jazakumullahu khairan to you, and we welcome all the listeners of the various radio stations, barakallahu feekum.
JazakAllah. Mufti Sahib, very quickly going into our Q&A program. Alhamdulillah, many questions we have received and many questions are still coming in. One of the very first questions that has come in, wanting to know that this person's father had passed away a few days after Eid. And what does this family read? What do they do? What do they read? And also pertaining to Isali Sawab.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Muslims, we all know that death is inevitable. Every person will taste death. Every creation will taste death. Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. Every living being shall taste death. Now when a person loses their father or mother, now you feel that great, great vacuum and you feel, what should I be doing now? So the greatest dua you should be reading is enshrined and mentioned in the noble Quran, Surah 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابُ O beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers, the day the reckoning is established. You, the children, grandchildren, should read this dua, Surah 14, verse 41, abundantly, and inshallah, Almighty Allah will forgive the deceased. Likewise, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu came to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Inna umma Sa'adin qad tuwfiyat. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu's mother passed away. What should I do? Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-ma, water. فَحَفَرَ بِئِرًا فَقَالَ هَذِهِ لِأُمِّ سَعَدْ He dug up a borehole, a well, and dedicated it to his mother. So it shows that we give our charity, cash or kind, or anything to do with water, a well, a borehole, or a huzukana, anything to do with water that would be excellent. And third is all our nafil ibadat. MashaAllah, what Allah said, we just returned from Hajj. Allah Ta'ala accept everyone's Hajj and Umrah and Ziyarat to Madinah Munawwara. So people were performing nafil tawaf. I would tell them that make dua and make the intention for entire human kind from time of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam right up to Sayyiduna wa Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the last baby to be born and passing away on Iman and Islam. So imagine we make and perform one tawaf, but we transfer the reward to millions, billions and zillions of people, and all that is acceptable. So we read Quran Sharif, we read 2 rakat salat, and you know, we made qurbani and so forth. So when you slaughter the animal and you just transfer the reward to all those people who are marhumin, deceased, and nafil intention you made, so all that is acceptable. Alhamdulillah, you know that we were teaching the people there, and so many people, mashallah, they appreciated it. But one sad news came that, you know, when we go to Aziziyah from Mecca, then I stay, my wife, myself, in the house of Dr. Farooq Muhammad. And lo and behold, just as Hajj finished, he was here in South Africa. His mother passed away 2-3 months ago, he was here. He was a lecturer there in a professor in Makkah in the university for more than 20 years. And this was their holiday time. And on Thursday, just 3-4 days ago, he passed away here in Pretoria. Almighty Allah grant our Dr. Farooq Muhammad Jannatul Firdaus, our Mufti Ayub Mullah of Rainsworth, our colleague, we studied together. Allah Jalla Wala grant all of them Jannatul Firdaus. So that is what you, the children, should be doing, and do so on a daily basis. Inshallah, Allah will grant you Sabr Jameel and your late father Jannatul Firdaus.
Ameen. Mufti Sahib, the next question we have is, this person says that when we made Qurbani, or before we started making the Qurbani, we found out that the animal was pregnant. What's the ruling pertaining to this? And also, Mufti Sahib, other questions you'll get after slaughtering, they realize that the animal was pregnant.
Yes, what happens is Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us zakatul zakatul janin. So meaning that when you slaughtered the animal and then you realize that the animal is pregnant, so you have 2-3 options after that. One option is that now that animal there, that baby, so if it is dead, so you bury it. It is meta, you cannot eat and consume it, and it is carrion. And then you have, if the animal, the baby is alive, so then you slaughter it, and remember that will be halal for consumption because you're slaughtering it. So that is what you need to do. You should not think that it is haram or not permissible to slaughter an animal that is pregnant. In Islam, that would be permissible and acceptable. And if it happened during your Qurbani time, so all that is permissible, no problem with that.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. Mufti Sahib, the next question, also a very common question which has been coming in over the years and most recently as well, pertaining to Qurbani meat. Is it permissible to give Qurbani meat to non-Muslims?
Regarding Qurbani meat, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the previous hadith I quoted about slaughtering the mother and the baby, all these ahadith you will find in Mishkat Sharif, in Musnad Ahmad. So yeah, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, kulu wa at'imu wa dakhiru. You yourself, you should consume of the Qurbani meat and feed others as well. And wa dakhiru, and you can store it as well. People make biltong and so forth. Keep it for 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, right till the next Eid al-Adha. So all that is permissible. Now the question arises that I have Qurbani meat, for example, so who should I give it to? So Hanafis say you can give it to Muslims or non-Muslims, all that would be permissible. And obviously you can't be selling the Qurbani meat. It is my animal which I slaughtered, for example, and now I'm distributing. So I can't be opening a small-time butcher now and say I'm selling it. That's not permissible. So I give Muslim, non-Muslim, all acceptable. However, According to the Shafi'i jurist and so forth, they say, nay, that the meat must be given to poor, to Muslims only, whether they poor or whether they rich. So Muslims only, remember, that is according to the Shafi'i school. But Hanafis, you can give to Muslim, non-Muslim, whether they poor, whether they rich. And Shafi'is, Muslim only, whether they poor or whether they rich.
Mufti Saab, is it permissible for a wife to ask payment from the husband to breastfeed their child?
While she is in that nikah, his husband, wife, Allah Jalla wa Ala bless them with that handsome, beautiful son, beautiful daughter, and now she wants to charge the husband for breastfeeding, that's haram and not permissible, because that is one of her duties. So we must remember that, wal walidatu yurdina awladahunna hawlayn kamilayn. And remember, the maximum period for breastfeeding, boy or girl, according to all four schools, is 2 lunar years. So you cannot demand payment. Remember that as a wife, as a mother. Yes, when the husband has divorced her, and now the iddat, everything is finished, and now they are total strangers to one another, this baby needs now a murdi'ah, a foster mother, or her own biological mother to breastfeed her. So in that case there, after the talaq, then she, this lady who's divorced, and the mother of the baby, then she can request payment from the father, from her ex-husband. So we must not confuse issues. Whilst the marriage is subsisting, then she cannot demand or request payment. But if the talaq and divorce has taken place, now she is doing a favor to that baby, and she can request, and whatever they agree on mutually. So that is what the husband will have to pay on a daily basis or weekly, monthly basis, whatever they come agreement, they reach amicably and mutually. So that would be acceptable. This is post talaq and after divorce.
Mufti Saab, moving on to the next question. What is the status of hunting in Islam? Hunting for food and also hunting for pleasure and for fun?
This is a three-part question. Number one, for the ulama who know Arabic and so forth, one of the greatest books you can read on this topic of hunting is Munyatus Sayyadin. Munyatus Sayyadin. Subhanallah, there was one copy left there in Makkah Mukarramah, and we managed to obtain it a few years ago. So if you can procure a copy of this kitab, it's in Arabic, excellent. So that's one issue. Second issue is, if people are doing hunting of any type of animal and it's just for fun and games, so remember, that's not permissible and that is not acceptable in Islam. Second one is, people do so for ta'zeeb, to cause harm to the animal, to torture the animal, to cause pain to the animal. So all that is haram in Islam. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Verily Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala has prescribed you do good to every creation of Allah. فَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَىٰ. That when you slaughter also, it must be done with ihsan. You fulfill your duty with beauty. So if it is for fun and entertainment, or it is to cause pain and harm and torture the animal, all that is haram and not permissible. Yes, if it is a person's livelihood and so forth, then people have to go out and hunt, otherwise they won't have any food and so forth. So that definitely is permissible and encouraged also, because even today you will find some people in some remote areas, they don't have access to food. You take, for example, this is just an example I'm giving, people in Bangladesh or those countries who live ala sahil al-bahar. So you must remember, they live there by the banks of the ocean. Fajr, breakfast time, lunch time, supper time, subhanallah, every meal they have fish. So because daily they will have to go and get the fish and so forth. So if people are living in such areas where they have to go and hunt and so forth, even the land animals, so that would be permissible and acceptable.
Jazakallah khair for that, Mufti Saab. Next question, if someone knocks my car, will it be allowed to accept the money if I know it's insurance funds?
If that person was guilty and in this accident he confesses and admits he was the neglectful party, negligent party, so he has to pay you 1,000 rand, 5,000, 100,000, for the damages caused to your car due to his or her negligence, and they agree, yes, they will pay to the battle beaters and what have you, or give you the money directly. So from wherever they get the money, that's not our business. So if he, that person who caused this accident, and he received the money from the insurers, so for you to go to take your car to the panel beaters and get it fixed up and use that money, totally permissible. When customers come into our shop, so we never ever ask them that whether it is, you know, insurance money or prostitution money or gambling money, and Islam will never ask you to do that also. So from where they receive their funds, that is their business, they will be guilty of that. But you are now the aggrieved party, the oppressed party, and justice has to prevail. So now you'll agreed on a certain sum. So whether he got the money from the casino or whether he got the money from the insurance, and now he pays for it, for you to use that money and fix up your car and give that to the panel beaters, all that would be considered permissible and acceptable.
Mufti Sahab, pertaining to the Hujjaj, people have been saying that for 40 days one's du'as are accepted after a person returns home. Is this true? Some say it's a weak hadith that say this. What is it, Mufti Sahab?
When you want to solve any problem in Islam and you belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which we do, and we believe in the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah's creed. So first is the Quran Sharif, thereafter is the Sunnah Mubarakah, the speech Mubarak of Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the actions Mubarak of Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so forth. Then we come to the fatawa and the verdicts of the Sahaba radiallahu anh. And then we go to the Awliyaullah, the special servants of Almighty Allah. And for fatawa and verdict, we go and refer to the four schools of thought, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, the Hanafis. This, in a nutshell, is the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So when we speak about the Hujjaj, now they have returned. There is no authentic ahadith that tells us that for 40 days the dua get accepted and so forth. So we are looking and searching. So we found in Lata'iful Ma'arif by Ibn Rajab Hanbali, in there he mentioned the verdict of Sayyidina Umar, Amirul Mu'mineen radiyallahu anhu wardah. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala used to say, O Hujjaj Baytillah, and he used to tell the people, go to the Hujjaj and tell them to make dua for you. Their duas are accepted in Zilhijjah, the current month, in Muharram, in Safar, and the Asharum min Rabi'ul Awwal, the first 10 days of Rabi'ul Awwal. If you want reference, open Lata'iful Ma'arif by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. Excellent work it is. In Fada'ilul Hajj, Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya, Hazrat Sheikh Nawwar Allah Marqadahu, so you will find there is written 20th Rabiul Awwal, that's a misprint. It's supposed to be 10th Rabiul Awwal. So every kitab, therefore, Al-Imam Shafi'i Rahimahullah's wonderful, great statement. These people were genius. He, Imam Shafi'i Rahimahullah, used to say, Ya'aballahu ayyu sahhiya ayya kitabin illa kitabahu. Almighty Allah has refused and made it such that every book of any person, there must be some errors and mistakes, except the kitab of Allah, that is flawless, no mistake, everything perfect for all times, all places, and all circumstances. What a profound statement by a genius and a great imam, Al-Imam Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah. So therefore, those of you who read the Fazail al-Hajj by Hazrat Sheikh Mawlana Zakariya, excellent book, Nawwar Allah Marqadahu, so you should change that. It's written 20th Rabiul Awwal. You should change it to 10th Rabiul Awwal. It's a misprint that.
Mufti Sahib, Jazakallah for that. Mufti Sahib, if someone gives me zakat money to discharge for him to a zakat recipient, can I now take that money and lend that money to someone else and he will return that in a few days' time?
When people give you zakat, and you must dispose it, discharge it on their behalf, or they give it to ABC XYZ organization, So for you to go and borrow, lend that money to somebody, or for you to invest it in business, or for you to go use it for some other reason, beside giving it to poor Muslim people, all that is haram and not permissible. Remember, today this is a crime committed by so many people and organizations. Let's take the micro, that this person ABC gave you XYZ zakat, and now whether you did it or not, I'm not sure, but let's assume on the pretext that you now gave that money on loan to another person. So that is your first transgression. Remember, zakat supposed to be paid out and expedited immediately. So it should go to the poor people. Now already a delay took place. And now you giving that money to your friend, to your associate. And then maybe he will use it for business and give you a cut and a commission. So all this is not permissible. Remember, you can't do that with zakat money. You take organizations, so many organizations have zakat money, millions and millions, and then they leave it in the bank. They don't use it on the poor and the destitute, whilst there are millions of Muslims crying, weeping, begging. So remember, so they collect interest. Or they say, no, we got this, let us invest it somewhere. And that extra money will come to the organization, and then when they feel like, then they will give out, remember, the zakat money. Therefore, to give these type of organizations is not permissible. They want to use somebody else's zakat money, the public's money, for their own benefit, and make money and profit out of my zakat and your zakat. Therefore, I stated previously, and even now I will reiterate it, majority of these organizations, you should not give them zakat. You should give out your zakat personally, and in that way it reaches the poor, and you know directly you have discharged your responsibility. Otherwise, this is now becoming a big racket. People are collecting thousands and millions, leave it in the bank, and then the interest comes, and then they want to use that for themselves or their companies, organizations. All that is haram and not permissible.
Mufti Sahab, our next question. We went for the walking Hajj and reached timelessly, but I covered my head due to the heat. Is there any penalty for this or not?
When people go for Hajj, it was 44, 45, 46 degrees, but the mercy of Almighty Allah, O esteemed listeners of Radio Al-Ansar, Sirius FM, and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Allah Jalla wa Ala is Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. That is our belief that Almighty Allah surely, definitely has power over everything. You, O Hujjaj, tell the people who did not perform Hajj what happened in Arafat. Approximately 2 hours rain came. We were drenched in the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, forgetting everything else, absorbed, crying and so forth, and our tears were washed away with the rain in Arafat, the mercy coming down on the Hujjaj. Then again in Mina, for about 1 hour or so it rained. Again we were there in the rain, and subhanallah, begging, beseeching, supplicating, asking Almighty Allah. Then people performed Tawafu Ziyara, and subhanallah, there also it rained. I was in a taxi going to Makkah, and subhanallah, Haji Shiraz Isa of Pietermaritzburg, my wife, myself, 3 of us, and the taxi driver Samir, Yasamir Yemeni. So mashallah, and what a wonderful experience. Almighty Allah reward our Haji Muhammad Ikhlas, his family, Haji Shiraz Isa, and all of them, mashallah, we were all in one group. So we find that people now, when they were walking, it's 40, 45 degrees. You who have not performed Hajj, cry to Allah and say Surah 2 verse 128, Wa arina manasikana wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. O Allah, show us these places of Umrah and Hajj. And that is Makkah, Mina, Muzdalifah, Arafat, all get included there. And Ya Allah, forgive us. We are sinners, we are transgressors. We confess and admit to it. There are no mitigating circumstances. We are guilty as charged. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Ya Allah, you are all forgiving. You are very merciful. So ask Allah, Ya Allah, when I perform Hajj, then let the rain come down. We were asking Allah, it was so hot in Arafat in the morning, Zuhr time. وَأَدْخِلْنَا فِي رَحْمَتِكَ Ya Allah, include us in your mercy. And then the drops came. Then the rain came. And then, subhanallah, it continued for 2 hours. So it was so hot, and now you covered your head. So remember, you put the ihram on your head. You did not cover it for 6 hours and 12 hours continuously and so forth. So you would cover, and then you would remove it and so forth. So give out 25, 30 riyals, or the equivalent, multiply it times 4. So 100 rand, 120, 150 rand, and give it out to poor people. So that will suffice in that case there. Therefore, we tell people who go for Umrah and Hajj, always use an umbrella, because it's extremely hot day, it's midsummer. So whenever you go, take an umbrella with you, even more so when you are in the state of Ihram.
Mufti Saab, is Ya Ra'ufu, is that from the Asma'ullah al-Husna, and what does it mean, and what is it to be read for?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala's Asma'ul Husna, Almighty Allah commands us in Surah 7 verse 180, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has wonderful names, beautiful names, and invoke and call Almighty Allah Jalla Wala by His beautiful names. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, and that is Man Ahsaha Dakhal Al Jannah. Whosoever recites it, whosoever memorizes it, he enters Jannah. Oh, esteemed listeners, make it your ma'amul, your routine, daily. You will recite the 99 beautiful names of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. However, certain names of Almighty Allah only for Allah. For example, you take the name Rahman. So you must remember, you can't call a person Rahman. It's only solely for Almighty Allah. So if you want to keep your son's name, Abdul Rahman. Your daughter's name, Amatul Rahman. So that is a name solely, exclusively for Almighty Allah. But you have other names, and remember, like Rahim, so that is used for Almighty Allah and for creation. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala used it for Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well, Raufur Rahim. Therefore, your mother's name Rahima, so that is permissible. So if you want a reference of this, open Surah Tawbah, Surah number 9, and verse number 128, the second last verse of that particular Surah, chapter 9, Almighty Allah speaks about the attributes and qualities of Habibullah Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Raufur Rahim. He Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rauf, very very compassionate, Rahim, very very merciful. So when we use for ourselves, we say Abdul Rauf, Abdul Rahim. But if you keep the name Rauf only or Rahim only, so that would also be permissible. So they must remember that when people keep these names, always find out, must a prefix be used or not. Certain places you have to use a prefix, like the example I gave of Abdul Rahman. And certain places you can use the prefix, but if you do not use it, that also is fine. Like Abdul Rahim or only Rahim, Abdul Rauf or Rauf. So that also would be acceptable and permissible.
Jazakallah khair for that, Mufti Saab. Well, that brings us to our very first ad break for this afternoon's Q&A program, brought to you exclusively by the Capital Group of Companies, solely and only for the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We continue shortly after this.
You're listening to a Marcus Sahaba online radio podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to this afternoon's Q&A program, live from Markaz Sahaba Online, voice of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, live from right here from 189 West Road, Overport, Durban, KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. That's where I am currently, and Mufti Saab is at the main studio, and that is in Lanesia. Mufti Saab, our next question we have: if a husband and wife do have children but desire to have twins, is it permissible to do the fertility treatment for them to achieve this?
Everything, alhamdulillah, is in the control of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. If a couple are married 5 years, 10, 15 years, and nothing is happening, and now you make dua. So which dua and which verses are you going to read? Surah 37, verse 100, and that is the dua of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. Surah chapter 37, Surah Safat, verse 100. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. O beloved Allah, grant me pious offspring and children. And remember Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu salam crying, begging Almighty Allah. Surah 21, verse 89. Surah chapter 21, Surah Anbiya, verse 89. Rabbi la tadharni farda wa anta khairul warithin. Ya Allah, do not leave me alone. You are the best one to grant aid. And Surah 3, verse 38, Surah Al Imran. Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba. Innaka sami'ud du'a. O Almighty Allah, grant me from your side pure and chaste and pious offspring. Verily, Ya Allah, you are all hearing to the supplication and du'a. So that is the Quranic verses regarding this topic. Then you use the means we are living in this world. World is dunya darul asbab. You have to use the permissible means. So if you now desire children and you want more children, you want twins, and you use fertility tablets and so forth, yes, it would be permissible. But first you must turn to Almighty Allah and read all these verses. And then you use these tablets and Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will bless you with such children, inshaAllah, the taqurrata a'yun. Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. Ya Allah, grant us our spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes, and read abundant istighfar. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhammin wa atubu ilayh. After every salat, before you sleep, and the best time at suhoor time, sehri time, wabil asharihum yastaghfirun. The pious and devout servants of Allah make at sehri time abundant istighfar. When a person, nation reads istighfar and begs Almighty Allah for forgiveness, yumdidukum bi amwalyu wa baneen, Almighty Allah will bless you with wealth and with children. So all these are entrenched and mentioned in the noble Quran.
Mufti Saab, many questions have been coming in pertaining to the situation in Kashmir and in Palestine. Please comment on this, Mufti Saab.
It is very, very sad that today, in the name of democracy, so many things are happening. And remember, the Ummah and Muslimah today, remember, are silent, or they can't do anything because our Iman is so weak and so forth. Let's go to Kashmir. We must remember that Kashmir, majority Muslim, and now today the Modi government and the BJP government, they say they want Hindu nationalism. So now they have become guilty of state terrorism. If you read the history of Modi, you will know in 2002, the massacre that occurred in Gujarat, he was the main person responsible for that. And America said they will not even issue him a visa. So it is a shame and a disgrace that today India, supposed to be the largest democracy in the world, 1.3 billion people, and we see that the Muslims are being massacred today in Kashmir. Our women are being raped and our children are being tortured. And all this for a state that claims to be the largest democracy in the world. Oh, India, have you forgotten your history? Go to your history and go and see in India Gate in Delhi the names of the people who fought for liberation, the freedom fighters, and you will find percentage-wise majority were Muslim who laid down their lives for the freedom of India from the British. And if you know, the freedom struggle was started by Muslims, by Haider Ali and his son Tipu Sultan, Rahimahullah, in the 1780s and 1790s. Who can forget all their contribution? Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani, Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, and so many thousands of others, ulama and normal people, ordinary people. So this was the Muslim contribution. But today this apartheid regime of Israel is teaching the Indians. Therefore Netanyahu is going to India in September next month before the elections. So to bolster his image to the Israeli people, that look at the context I have with Trump and then with Modi and with this person and this prime minister and so forth. But what are you doing? You are treating the Muslims as second class and third class citizens. We know all this. I was born in a location. I was born in apartheid. And I saw what the white men did. They treated us like second class and third class. I can never forget when they would call me or our parents as coolies and so forth. People can say what they want to. We must remember we can never forget all these things here. So today the apartheid regime of Israel, 70 years, remember, you are doing the same thing to Palestine Muslims. How many of our children are in jail? How many different laws do you have? Different roads for the Jews and the apartheid regime of Zionist Israel. And now you find in Kashmir, they want to do the same thing. Oh, Ummah and Muslimah, apni khabe ghaflat se utho. Wake up from your slumber, oh Ummah. Have you forgotten what the Quran Kareem teaches us? Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam, when his people were oppressed and transgressed by the Pharaoh, and they were the superpower at that time, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam taught his people Surah Yunus chapter number 10 verses 85-86, Alallahi tawakkalna, upon Allah alone we place our trust. رَبَّنَا لَا تَجَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Oh Allah, do not make us a target for a people who are the zalims, the oppressors and the transgressors. وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Oh Allah, through your mercy you rescue us from a people who are the disbelievers, the non-Muslims. So today the BJP, and they have made their public supporters, that they also sell the Muslims in India, Jao Jao Pakistan, Jao Jao Kabristan. So this is supposed to be your democracy. Same thing you see, the apartheid regime of Israel, the unholy alliance between Israel and India going on. Both know the Americans are supporting them and they have the veto. And it's Muslim blood that is flowing, and the Muslim Ummah are so weak today. Everyone is worried of their own kursi and their own power. A disgrace for the Muslim rulers and so forth. Nevertheless, remember, justice will prevail. O ulama, teach your people in your lectures. Open Sunan Nasai. Open Sunan Nasai. There is a hadith there, infarada bihi al-imam al-Nasai rahimahullah. In the ahadith works, only Imam Nasai have mentioned it. And the heading is Ghazwatul Hind. A time will come when you, the Ummah, will have to fight the Hind, the people in India, because of their transgression and zulm and oppression. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu states, Wa'adana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi sallam. The Master Rahmatul Lil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised us, the time will come when you Muslims will fight, so you should give everything, your wealth, your health, your personality, to fight this enemy. And remember, if you become shaheed, then you will be afdalu shuhada, one of the best martyrs. So our children, our mothers, our sisters who have given their life there in Kashmir, they have become afdalu shuhada, one of the best shuhada of this day and this age. And the hadith is mentioned in Sunan Nasai. You ulama, the honorable imams, you should be starting already Fajr time, kunut nazila, crying, begging throughout the world, wherever you are, and listening to Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, listening to Sirius FM and Radio Al-Ansar International. Fajr time, we were in Hajj, in Muzdalifah, we raised our hands and read kunut nazila. In Arafat, we cried to Allah. So in Mina, we cried to Allah. So remember, O Ummah, we cannot let them change the demographics like how we see what they are doing in Palestine, stealing the land and occupying the land. The aim of the Zionist regime now is to demolish and abolish the Qubbatul Sakhra, the Dome of the Rock, and replace it with Haikal-e Sulaimani. Wa makaru wa makarallah. They plot and plan, but Almighty Allah is the best planners. Netanyahu, with all the American support and media, humiliated, disgrace, could not form a government, and now re-elections will be run. All this is mentioned in the Quran Sharif, but this Ummah does not have time for Quran, majority of this Ummah. They have time for the rubbish of Hollywood, Bollywood and Shaitanhood. Today the Indians are massacring our people, but you love your Hollywood and Bollywood. So where is this Ummah's shame? Where is this Ummah's iman? Question yourself, where is our allegiance? Almighty Allah speaks of the Zionists and the Jews. تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. You think they're united? Nay, their hearts are fragmented. Open the ending of the six Jews. Almighty Allah already informed us. We don't even know who our enemies are. Almighty Allah speaks about the enemies more than 1400 years ago. لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودِ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. Your worst enemies, O Muslims, will be the Jews and the Mushrik, the idol worshippers, the Hindus. We speak of majority, not minority. And this is enshrined in the noble Quran. Surah 5, Surah Ma'idah, verse 82. The unholy alliance between them. Common enemy, Muslim. For them, what binds them? وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجْلَ بِكُفْرِهِمْ. They love the cow. Therefore, in India, when the cow is passing, you can't hoot. The god will get frightened. That is their dirham. That is their belief. So you must understand, Allah Jalla Wala gave us Iman and Islam. We fear none except Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. And the Jews and Zionists are waiting for Baqaratun Hamra, that the red cow must come, pure red, no other color. And that will be a sign the rabbis will say, now you must bring in the Haikal-e Sulaimani, the Temple of Solomon, and Allah forbid, demolish and abolish the Qubbatul Sakhra. So now the engineers are busy. So how they can get the red cow? So in the Haaretz newspaper last week also, they had a cartoon of the red cow. So may Almighty Allah decimate these enemies, whether they are in Kashmir or India, in Palestine or Syria, in Yemen or in China, whether it be in Iraq or Afghanistan, or whether it be, remember, in Burma or wherever else. Our dua for the Muslims. Allahumma ajjil bi nasrihim ya qawiyu ya aziz. Ya Allah, you assist our Muslim brothers, sisters and children. La manja wa la manja illa ilayk. There's no one for them, ya Allah. Our Muslim rulers are sellouts, ya Allah. They're munafiqeen, majority of them, and murtadeen, majority of them. So ya Allah, we beg of you, these zalims, if there's no hidayat for them, Allahumma ahsihim adada, waqtuluhum badada, wa la tubqi minhum ahada. We have firm yaqeen in you, ya Allah. You showed us your power in Arafat. You showed us your power in Mina. You showed us your power in Muzdalifah and everywhere else. Ya Allah, help the mazlumin and the oppressed people of the Zumma. That is the minimum the Muslim has to do. And leave all these satanic movies of yours and all these videos you got. Take them and burn them. Looking at these movies and loving their culture and their saris. You Muslim lady wearing a sari like them, don't you feel ashamed? You lost your ihya and shame. Tomorrow you will lose your iman. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innal iman wal haya'a qurana'u jami'ah. That verily iman, the faith and haya and shame and modesty, they are together, they are partners. Idha rufiya ahaduma rufiya al-akhar. When the iman goes, the haya goes. You can see this today, how the satanic enemies have come with their so-called human rights, that men can get married to men, woman to woman, and all this satanic gay brigade. So that is their so-called culture. And you see, when haya goes away, the next target, iman, will disappear. Open Bayhaqi and Mishkat Sharif, you will find the hadith. Oh Allah, we beg of you. We are still hujjaj, we're just returning, ya Allah. Accept the du'as of the mazloom, yatama, and destroy the Zionist regime and the BJP party and the ethnic cleansing that's going on of the Muslims, whether it be in Burma, whether it be in other parts of the world, China. Ya Allah, you decimate and destroy these zalimeen and these oppressors. Ya Qawiyu, Ya Aziz.
Mufti Sahib, moving on to the next question that we have. This person says that I performed Qurbani for my father and for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but did not make Qurbani for myself. Is this correct or not? If it's incorrect, how do I rectify this?
The first verse to be revealed was Iqra. Today, this Ummah does not read. Before partition, India-Pakistan took place in 1947, the Qurbani Masla, I'll return to it just now, is up. So I want to just tell you, inform you, O esteemed listeners, of one incident that took place in the 1930s. When you have Iman, you have Islam, to apne jaan ka nazrana pesh karna mushkil nahi. To say, Ya Allah, we are prepared to give our life for your deen. When the enemies there in Kashmir were opening fire, this is not now, in the 30s already. So the Muslims stood up and they said, like now, Eid al-Adha took place, the biggest masjid in Srinagar, the Jami Masjid, all of them were closed by these so-called shaitans, democratic people. So anyway, I'm taking you back to the 1930s. The Muslims stood up and they said, Apne jaan ka nazrana pesh karenge. We give our life for you, Ya Allah. One person stood up, azan time, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The bullet came and he fell martyred. Then the next one continued with the azan. 22 of them gave azan where the previous muazzin stopped. He carried on from there. 22 of them, a special grave for them and so forth. These are Muslims. These are people with iman. This is the history of Kashmir. But the Ummah today only knows Kashmir for holidays and tourism. Who is there to worry about the history? Our Muslim history is not written in black and white. Our Muslim history is written in black and red. The black ink of the ulama and the ulama-i haq. I don't speak of others. We speak of ulama-i haq. Ulama-i haq who never sold the deen for worldly material gain. And we speak of our shuhada, our martyrs who gave their lives, apni zindagi, apni jaan ko nazrana door par pesh kiya. Ya Allah, this is my life. I'm giving it to you, Ya Allah, for your love. 20+ of them started the adhan, Allahu Akbar, and La ilaha illallah, they ended. And this is the historic land of Kashmir. Study what is Kashmir. Study what is Palestine. Study, go see the Muslim woman today, and you will find an article there on Jordan. Go study our great, great history in all these places. But this Ummah has become jahil, ignorant of Islam, because they are now engrossed in movies, in cell phone, in pornography, and all satanic events. So this Ummah, we're asking for the wrath and anger of Allah, because we made Islam a part-time thing. We became be-ghayrat and be-sharam. We have lost our moral compass and we will lose our deeni compass totally. Allah forbid. Allah have mercy on us. Amen. This is again an example where people have good intentions, but the knowledge is not there. Now you take a person. He slaughtered one animal or two animals, one out of love for Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very good. So that is Isa alayhi salam. One for his father, maybe it was one animal, whether two animals, it's fine. But in the process, he did not slaughter for himself. To slaughter for yourself is wajib, according to Hanafis, according to Shafis, Malikis, Hanbalis, it is sunnah. But what we do, now the shaitan makes us get our priorities upside down. Our ignorance gets upside down. It takes a undue advantage. So you should have slaughtered first for yourself. And then you take another animal if you have the means and say for Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you say for the Ummah together the at large and so forth. So not the other way around. That is unacceptable, that you are guilty of a major sin. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, authentic hadith, man wajada sa'atan falam yudahi. People who have the means to make qurbani and to sacrifice, and they did not do so, فَلَا يَقْرَبَنَّ مُسَلَّانَا, they must not even come near the Eidgah and not come there. Meaning it is a wa'idun shadid, a strong warning for them. So brother, you must now slaughter another animal or give out that money, and in that way there is like a qadha that's compulsory upon you, especially according to the Hanafi school, and make tawbah also. Learn the deen, and always in Islam, dua also, first you make dua for yourself, and then you make dua for others.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Mufti Sahib, next question. We did not sleep in Muzdalifa as the bus did not stop there. What's the ruling pertaining to this?
Yeah, for Muzdalifa, there are two different issues. One is Mabit. Mabit is to spend the night or half the night or some hours there in Muzdalifa. That is called Mabit. And one is called Wukuf. Wukuf is that Fajr time enters and you are in Muzdalifa. But Allah Jalla Jalalu's mercy and grace, Alhamdulillah, our group, we reached there 9:30 or so. And our Haji Ghulam Valley was there with another bus. MashaAllah, Haji Ghulam Valley is a veteran, 34 Hajna he performed. SubhanAllah, I met Imam Yusuf Pandey of Cape Town. I said, Imam, is it Klafe Iftakh? Did you perform 50 Hajj already? He said, no, next year, 2020 is Iftakh. On some Feiftach mark, inshallah, he said. So I'm going to reach my target of 15 next year. Subhanallah, these are people. Allah Ta'ala selects whoever he wants. So we reached there, alhamdulillah, early. And this is just the favor and grace of Allah, making dua, crying to Allah in Arafat. Ya Allah, we are your mehman. Take us early. We had old people. Our Haji Muhammad Ikhlas, father, mother, all wheelchair. And other people in wheelchair also. So subhanallah, JC Niyat, JC Barkat. So Allah Ta'ala took us early and we reached there. Now many a time it happens, the buses cannot find parking. The police and the law enforcement agency don't allow them. So in that case there the Mabit. Mabit is for Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis. That's wajib, is compulsory. And according to Hanafis, the wukuf is compulsory. So if you miss the whole Muzdalifa, then a dam becomes compulsory. You have to slaughter a goat or a sheep. And remember that is any time of the year. And it must be done there in Makkah or Mina. So people will go for Umrah now from September and so forth. So already I see advertisements for visas and all that online for Umrah you can start doing. So you can just contact your agent and then they will tell you all the details. And the going price now is 450 riyals per goat, per sheep. And that's $120, $150. So you send that money with somebody, and reliable obviously. And then any time of the year, they can slaughter the Damul Jinaya, and that will be a compensation for this grog mistake. Although it's not your fault, but it is a shortcoming in our Hajj, and therefore you do that. And it's like how in Sajda, when we in Salat, we make a mistake, we perform Sajda, so that compensates for the deficiency in our Salat, the Sajda. So in Hajj or Umrah, when we miss something which is compulsory, that is wajib and so forth, then a dam will compensate for that deficiency. But your Hajj is valid, don't worry about that.
Mufti Saab, our sister says, can you please ask Mufti Saab to reiterate on the question on zakat, where you find organizations are banking the zakat and and they are accumulating interest on that?
Yes, I told you many a time in the past that these type of organizations, remember, one should never ever give them any zakat, no, give them anything basically. Why should you give them? They enrich themselves, then they use that money for themselves, use that for their sons, their daughters, their family. And remember, we know of all these tricks they use and healers and shortcuts and so forth. So therefore, remember, this is the haqq. وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقُّ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. The Quran Kareem says, when you pay zakat, it is for the people who are the poor, the destitute. Surah 9, verse number 60, Almighty Allah has mentioned 8 categories of the people who are entitled to receive zakat. But today the people collecting zakat, in most instances, they are the ones abusing this and enriching themselves and their families in the process. So therefore, we must never give them, rather we should expose them.
Well, that brings us already to 14:57, just a few minutes or one more question before the break. Mufti Saab, the question that has come in wanting to know that as we be coming to the end of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, is there any specific du'as or dhikr to recite?
Remember in Islam that when a month ends and a new month starts, then when we study the various ahadith works, then we find that there are 3 du'as mentioned. One du'a is mentioned in Abu Dawood, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. O Almighty Allah, make this new lunar month, in this case, it will be the month of Muharram 1441, and that will start, inshallah, on the 1st September. 1st September, 1st Muharram, a Sunday, so Saturday night, inshallah, more than 29 hours moon, so 99% the moon will be sighted, inshallah, and 1st September, Sunday, will be 1st Muharram, 1441. Scan the sky and look for the crescent and say, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. These words are mentioned in Abu Dawood. O Almighty Allah, make this month of Muharram and the year 1441 a month of khair, goodness, wa rushdin, and righteousness. So Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anhu was buried there next to Masjid al-Aqsa. He reports Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the Sahaba the hadith in Musnad Ahmad. When the new lunar month starts, Allahu Akbar, then you say Alhamdulillah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. These words every Muslim knows. Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no might to take me towards good deeds. There is no power to prevent me from vices and sins except Almighty Allah. Then plural you say, Allahumma inna nas'aluka khayra hadha shahr. Ya Allah, we beg of thee to grant us the best of this month, Musnad Ahmad. And then the famous hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, authentic hadith, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, say, when the new month and the new crescent is sighted, Allahu Akbar. Allahumma hillahu alayna bil amni wal iman was salamati wal islam wat tawfiq lima tuhibbu wa tarda rabbi wa rabbuka Allah. Especially for us in South Africa, we should be reading this and we should be circumspect and very emphasize it for our children and students. Oh Allah, let this new moon and crescent loom upon us with safety, security, and do not let the criminals get the upper hand. Ya Allah, protect our iman and Islam. Grant us tawfiq, Ya Allah, that ability, capacity to do the actions and say the speech that you love and is pleasing to you. Ya Allah, you are my provider, sustainer, and the provider, sustainer for the celestial creation. Authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. People today say, read the salat. Yes, you can read extra salat in the sense to thank Almighty Allah. But remember, it is not a sunnah. It's not something that Nabi alayhi salatu salam said we must do. So always learn what Quran Sharif, the sunnah mubarakah, the sahaba, the awliyaullah taught us according to the four schools of thought. And inshallah, Allah make 1421 a year where will be victory upon victory. Victory for the Muslims, and the Zalims are decimated and destroyed.
Jazakallah khair for that, Mufti Saab. Inshallah, Mufti Saab is going to be touring Durban for Muharram, and from Wednesday, the 4th of September, right until Monday, the 9th of September, Mufti Saab is going to be in Durban and the surrounding areas. Well, it's time for the next break, and after that, we continue with the rest of the questions.